You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Not only do the Bruins have to redeem themselves as players this postseason, Jim Montgomery and the coaching staff have to redeem themselves as well, because players play 100% and it's completely unacceptable the collapse that they had last year against Florida. But I was reminded of something in game five I completely forgot about, and it just reminded me of, like, Monty, keep it stupid simple. Stop overthinking everything. Just stop changing things. Just let things breathe, especially if they are proven that they work. Not that Waterspoon Peak has proven that, but they look good. But game five against Florida last year, Bruins are up in that series 3-1. They do so without Patrice Bergeron in the lineup. He comes back into the lineup for game five. You know what line Brad Marchand was on that game? Brad Marchand on a depth chart was on the third line with Charlie Coyle and Nick Foligno. Look, a lot went wrong to lose that series, but it's like, that is just a reminder of, like, don't overthink things. And we don't have to go into it, but going forward, Monty needs to stop with the unnecessary tinkering. Unnecessary being the key word. If it's necessary, fine. But I don't know. I was watching those highlights from that game, and like in the very beginning, it flashed like the faces on top of the screen of the lines, and I'm like, Bertuzzi, Bergeron, DeBrusque, Marchand, Coyle, Foligno, like, what was Monty doing? What was he doing? You're up 3-1. And anyway, don't need to revisit it, but it's just a reminder of, like, just not just the players, but the coaches have to improve this year too. And I think part of that improvement is just not overcomplicating personnel decisions.
I think we all agree. I was looking up.
So it was game six, what I was thinking of, but when he took Grizzly out and put Clifton back in, and it was like, Clifton had played very poorly games one and two, and then bringing Grizzly in was part of what really helped the transition game get going, games three and four down in Florida. And then after one loss in game five, you revert back and it doesn't work again. So sort of along those same lines of, like, don't overreact.
And again, like, we've been watching Coyle and Marchand for almost an entire regular season at this point. So it's, my point's kind of diluted because we're used to hearing those names together. But think back to last spring, Marchand and Coyle being on a line together was unheard of. It wasn't, what are you doing?
Yeah, it was not the norm last year, that's for sure.
So putting Peak and Lindholm and Waterspoon and Carlo, like, I know it was one game and he was probably trying to wake up Carlo and Lindholm, but it just reminded me of, like, some of the shortcomings last year, which is overthinking things. It's like, just please just stop with that shit.
Well, and along the same lines though, but, you know, just on the same topic while we're here, it seems like the one pairing now that he's, like, locked into is Grizzly McAvoy. And I just find it curious, you know, he's said if you play well, you stay in the lineup. If you struggle, you might come out. Well, I don't know what you guys thought of Matt Grizzlick's game Wednesday night, but I thought he didn't look very good. Again, far from alone on the team, but do you change up that pairing at some point? Whether it's giving Lori a look there, whether it's maybe you move Lindholm up there for a game, like I mentioned earlier, you know, load him up with McAvoy. I know that they use that line in offensive zone situations at times, Lindholm and McAvoy together, but maybe for a full game, you know, give them 15 to 20 minutes together.
Are you talking about regular season or playoffs? Are you saying try it now and then?
Yeah, I'm talking like right now while he's apparently experimenting on defense.
Yeah, I would. I would. I mean, I've said it frequently. Like I prefer to see Lori there. I think his ceiling's higher, and I think he gets a bet. I think McAvoy playing on his toes is helpful. But it's like, but again, they don't help themselves. Like they don't help my they help my argument because against Florida, they get scored out in the first 30 seconds, and it's like that's not what a top pair should be doing in that type of game.
But we also talked about how who does McAvoy play best with, like that frees him up offensively, and he's been looking better offensively. It's been Grizzlick that's been out there with him. He's not having to focus too much on cleaning up some of Lori's mistakes or like just having to worry about a rookie defenseman to try to. It's a mental thing, I think.
Yeah, but he's also got to worry about Matt Grizzlick getting out-muscled every time there's a one-on-one battle in their D-zone.
But I think he trusts him. Like, I think if you're talking about, like, mentally, I think he just trusts Grizzlick's game more and doesn't feel like he feels like he can play his game more when he's out there with Grizzlick. That's my counter to that. So that's how I've been looking at it. But,
yeah, I don't totally disagree, and like they're best buddies. Like I'm sure he prefers to play with them from a personal standpoint, but I don't know. I haven't seen them be dominant enough where it's like not even close. And besides the last couple of games, I think people are for some reason, and I don't mean to come at the two of you, but like I feel like Lori's not getting enough credit for his offensive skill set and what he opens up in the ozone and in transition. Like Grizzlick has not been, he's not been great at that. And you can sit there and say he helps McAvoy play the safest game. I don't want McAvoy playing safe. I want Charlie McAvoy playing on his toes and being a menace. And I don't know, man. I think there's a level of complacency when McAvoy is playing with Grizzlick, and I can't help but feel that way. I don't think it's the end of the world. It's not going to make or break the Bruins' chances this year, Grizzlick versus Lori. But like, I don't know. I feel like people oftentimes say, well, Lori's a rookie and he makes mistakes, but it's not talked about enough, the plays that he does make.
I would still like to see him rotated in for sure before the end of the regular season. He hasn't played on the Florida trip, so we haven't seen him in a little bit. But you want to see him against a good team too. You want to probably get him into one of those Carolina games if you really are serious about like prepping him for the playoffs. I don't know what the matchup would be like. Would you go to him for that Florida game? I don't see a huge reason why not to, but I feel like the next Florida game you really want to roll out what you think is going to be your playoff lineup.
I think the problem with Lori, like I'll give him credit offensively, absolutely, he's probably along with McAvoy the most creative offensive defenseman the Bruins have. The issue is that the defense does at times still outweigh the offense. He's the only Bruins defenseman who's been on the ice for more goals against than goals for this season. And that's happened while he gets a ton of offensive zone starts. Mm-hmm. They don't exactly give him the toughest assignments. And it's not just bad luck. Like even if you dive deeper into the analytics at like expected goals for, which takes into account, you know, chances, quality of chances, all that. Out of 10 Bruins defensemen who have played this season, he's ninth, 46.6%. Only Ian Mitchell is worse. So,
remember him? That feels like seasons ago he was playing for the Bruins.
So, like, yeah. The reality is the Bruins are still giving up more chances against when Laurie's on the ice than they're getting, so, even though individually he does create chances.
So here's my question. Is it a Brian problem? Because I feel like it's, I'll admit, I feel like I'm fighting uphill to argue for Laurie because the defensive metrics might not be astonishing. But I just don't trust Grizzlick anymore in the playoffs.
Yeah. And, I was going to say, so, I don't think it's just you, Brian. I think you're in the group of people that they just don't see the upside of Grizzlick compared to the upside of Laurie, right? Like the whole group of people that have been against Grizzlick or not trusting Grizzlick. Like, I'm not saying that's why you're in this group, but there is a group of people that agree with you for that reason.
But I also want to clarify, like, I like him as a player. I do. Like, he's a great skater. He's smart. I think he bails the Bruins out of trouble oftentimes with his decision-making and his puck retrievals and his skating ability. I like him as a player. And I think the biggest reason the Bruins lost the Stanley Cup in 2019 was because Oscar Sundquist gave Matt Grizzlick a concussion. And the Bruins, against that Blues team, they lost a big advantage, which was their transition over St. Louis's to transition. I've always liked Matt Grizzlick, but part of it is because I really like the size and the skating and the upside of Laurie, and I don't like penalizing a player for their youth because we haven't seen him in the playoffs but I hear this, the analytics Scott just said, it's partly the upside on Laurie and it's partly I've just seen Grizzlick year in and year out get caved in on forechecking. And it puts more strain on McAvoy because now he's defending more and he's now susceptible to more body checks. And again, it could be me. I feel like a lot of fans that don't want Grizzlick in there hate him as a player. That's not the case with me. I've seen it with him. And I look at who they're playing in the playoffs, Florida, Carolina, like I can see it already happening.
Yeah, yep. I think the reality is something we've believed or known to be true all season, which is, if we're really going to be honest about it, they're a top four defenseman short. Like, neither Grizzlick nor Laurie is, to me, an ideal partner for Charlie McAvoy in the playoffs. Hampus Lindholm probably would be, but then you don't have an ideal partner for Brandon Carlos. So it all comes back to that. And, you know, we think they poked around. They were linked to Noah Hanifin for how long? Like, I think it's something they're going to explore in the off season, but they couldn't find something that worked in season or before the season. And, you know, in my mind, like, maybe there's a time where you hoped Laurie might get there this season. I don't think he's there. Maybe if you gave him a longer runway, let him play through more mistakes, you know, like, you can second guess that if you want. I don't know that it would have made a huge, huge difference, but ultimately just comes back to what I think is kind of just a foundational truth of this team, which is they have three top four defensemen. They're not alone, by the way. There's other playoff teams that don't have four legitimate top four guys, but in a perfect world, you would.
So what about Grizzlick and Carlo?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
They haven't used it a ton this season. I don't think it's looked good when they have.
That 2019 Cup run was when it was McAvoy and Chara. Was it Carlo and Krug or Carlo and Grizzlick?
He was with Krug.
Okay.
And then it was like Grizzly Miller, usually, I think.
Okay. All right. Yeah, they are top four guys short. I guess there's pros and cons to Lauri and or Grizzly, and it's just a matter of which one are you willing to gamble on.
And then they have like five bottom pair guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
You're getting plenty of those. But anyway, guys, we talked a lot about the Bruins. I promised we were going to talk a little bit about college hockey, so I want to just pay that off at the end here. Because first of all, look, got all my UMass gear on. Not going to the game. All my college friends who I normally go with are working because, you know, 2 p.m. on a Thursday, not the most ideal time for a hockey game to drive out to Springfield. So I would have loved to go, but not going to happen. Maybe if they win somehow. I'm not hugely hopeful for them this year. I'm pretty sure my friends would have taken the time out of work if we thought that they were close to what they, you know, to making a run. But after what I saw in the Hockey East tournament, a little bit discouraged about their chances of winning. I don't think they're going to beat BC or BU if they run into those teams. It's like Denver and yeah. So there's a lot of teams better than them. Anyway, that game is probably by the time I post this about to start. But we got a question.
People gotta watch this on YouTube fast because Bridget's UMass getup might be outdated pretty quickly.
It might be. It's okay. So we had a question from Chip.
I'm also not going to BU's game, by the way, because UMass made the tournament. BU got shipped out to Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Yes. Yeah, that was tough. I don't know many people that are going, though. I know Bell Fraser is going. Was it Boston Hockey Blog?
Yeah, Daily Free Press coverage team. They're out there.
Yep. So she's great. She covers the Bruins with us. That's her connection to us. But they got like this GoFundMe and they raised all this money and now they're out there. So yeah, we had a few questions about college hockey. This one from Chip said, so the great state of Michigan has four teams qualified for this year out of 16. Three of four have been placed in Maryland Heights, Missouri. Great place for hockey, which I'm not sure even has a rink. This kind of sucks because Michigan State has won the Big Ten regular season and Big Ten tournament. And now to make the Frozen Four, they may need to beat Michigan teams to get there. Basically, you're not going to see all the Michigan teams get a chance to make the Frozen Four, which is in Michigan. So basically the question is why? Scott, you can handle this one.
Yeah. So the bracket is based off the pairwise ratings, which are a mathematical formula used to determine the strongest teams. And then they just basically 1 through 16, as much as possible, they try to stick to 1 versus 16, 2 versus 15, and on. And then you have to make adjustments for location. Like UMass has to be in Springfield because they're hosting that regional. You can't face a team from your own conference. So in the case of this, you know, three Michigan teams being there, Michigan State faces Western Michigan in the first round. That can happen because they're not in the same conference. So, yeah. But what's even more interesting here, so he mentions, Maryland Heights, right? Town just outside St. Mm-hmm. Louis. Have you seen how much of a disaster this regional is going to be?
No.
So the rink holds 2,500, and you have North Dakota there, who has the best fan base in college hockey. North Dakota alone was looking for 7,500 tickets. On the secondary market right now, tickets for that regional are going for over $1,000. It is way, like, I don't understand how that rink got a regional in the first place. I'm like, how are we putting it in a 20? That'd be like having it at Lawler Arena at Merrimack.
Hey, take it easy.
Actually, Lawler might have more seats than that.
I like both of those rinks, but you're not putting an NCAA regional there.
No, I think, just think about it, like, to put it in terms of that people might understand size-wise, Aganis fits over 7,000. So if you've ever been to a Gannis and then try to
6,500, yeah,
6,500. I thought it was seven, but you probably would know better than myself.
The Hallenberg.
But anyway, you can tell that like so many fewer seats than a Gannis. And yeah, it's so stupid. It's stupid. Playing in Missouri and you know, playing where nobody can get in. It's dumb. At least Springfield has that's a full size hockey rink. And Providence is obviously that's where the Providence Bruins play. So plenty of seats there. Great. Those seats were still kind of expensive, but I might go to the Sunday game if it's Quinnipiac, BC, because I have a bunch of Quinnipiac fan friends and a bunch of BC fan friends. So, and the other question we got from the mailbag about college hockey was from Kim. She said, what teams do you think will be in the Frozen Four, regardless if BC wins it all? Do you think Gauthier is gone and will play for the Ducks next year? I just want to stop there because there was more to this question. Gauthier already said he's going to play for the Ducks next year. Right when he got traded, he did an interview with some of the Anaheim media. My friend Alexis interviewed him right after he got traded from the Flyers to the Ducks, and he on that podcast said he will be joining Anaheim next season. So this is going to be his last year at BC for sure. And then so the rest of the question, do you think Smith, Leonard, Perreault will be back for BC one more year or will they go pro? And the same question for Celebrini. Scott, you can handle the Celebrini one because this is your guy. Great, one of the best BU players that they've ever had.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, I think all those guys are probably ready to turn pro. I guess it just depends on, you know, the team that drafts them. Are they so far away that they're okay with them going back for another year? But, you know, just being completely honest, like on any of the BC guys, whether it's Perreault, Smith, Leonard, or Celebrini at BU, I don't know how much more they can learn and grow at the college level. Obviously some, I believe in college hockey. I believe it's a great place to develop, but I mean, those guys are absolutely dominating like game in game out this year. And if you give them another year, like they're only going to dominate even more. So
I mean, selfishly, I want them all to come back because that makes my life easier. Cause I'm broadcasting these games and the more entertaining the hockey is, the easier my job is. And there's no question they're NHL ready.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the good news is they both have more of those guys coming. BU has Cole Iserman, who's probably going to be a top five pick this summer. BC has James Haggins, who's going to be the number one pick in 2025. So more elite talent right behind them.
Just watching Brian's face, he's like,
oh. Sorry. No,
he's ordering lunch online.
No, so it was a working meal that came in.
I also think like if BC doesn't win, do they try like does that freshman line try to run it back as sophomores? If it's up to them to choose, if their team's like you can either develop one more year, like we don't need you yet, which could easily be the case. Will Smith is. Not that Will Smith is an incredible hockey player from what we've gotten to see. Celebrini, I think it depends who he gets drafted by, which we don't know yet. So
did you guys give quick picks or no?
BC is my pick.
Well, how bold of you.
Listen, I've watched them play so many times. It's like, and I've watched and broadcast so much college hockey this year that it just makes so much sense to me from what I've watched with my own eyes. I'm not like jumping off of anyone's like, you know, it's not a hot take at all because they're so good. But there's a reason why they're favorites and it's because they're dominant. I mean,
gotta go. They're not just BUBC, right? It has to be BUBC.
I think so. I think realistically, like the four number one team, I mean, I guess this is why they're the number one seeds, should advance. So that's BC, BU, Michigan State, Denver. The one upset in there I could see is Denver, not a great 5-5 team and hasn't had great goaltending most of the season. The way that Maine played against BU in the hockey semis, they've been a really good 5-5 team all year. Like, Maine could knock them off in the second round out in Springfield. But yeah, I think it's probably going to be BCBU, and I'd love to be a homer, but if I'm given an actual honest pick, BC has probably the best college hockey team I've seen.
Yeah.
In my time following it, I was 4 years old when Maine, that 93 team lost one game with Jim Montgomery and Paul Kariya. So not going to pretend I remember that team.
Yeah. The
last 20 years.
Yeah.
I would say in the last 20 years, this BC team is more loaded than any I've seen.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Maine. I wanted to give them a quick shout out for being in the tournament. Do you recall the last time that they were in the national tournament?
2012.
So that's 11 years ago.
It's funny, like growing up, I feel like it was always
good math, Bridget. 12 years ago.
Growing up, I feel like in Hockey East, like the Hockey's powers year in and year out were BC, BU, Maine, and UNH. Like those teams were always there, and it's kind of vintage to see at least three or four of them in the same tournament. Pretty cool.
Yeah, well, when I was at UMass, they sucked and they never made the tournament. And then all of a sudden they were good and they're back in the tournament this year. I don't think they have too much of a chance even if they somehow get out of the regional, like that beating BU and BC is really not
an any easy given path. Sunday
or Thursday. Because I'm playing Denver today, but I could see Maine upsetting Denver because I broadcast a Providence College Denver game earlier this season that PC won, and Denver didn't particularly impress me in that game. And now, was that one of their worst games of the year? I mean, probably that they weren't playing like their best hockey at that point, but I could see an upset with Maine being like the more physical, like Maine plays with a lot of passion. So I could see that being an upset out of the Springfield regional.
And that's basically going to be like a home game for them. Their fans are going to pack that building just like they did the Garden on Friday night.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, that could be a Hockey East regional championship game if somehow UMass wins and Maine wins. Could be a nice Hockey East matchup there. And then if it's BC, Quinnipiac, and Providence, that's a nice New England matchup. Like we get some good New England teams in, and obviously Quinnipiac trying to defend the title, though they're not as good this year as they were last year.
But still, some of the bigger college free agent names to watch there: Colin Graf and Jacob Quillen. Quillen scored the overtime winner in the national title game last year.
Wasn't he the player of the year, ECAC player of the year this year, or something like that?
I think Graf was.
Oh, Graf. Okay. Quillen won another award as well. I'd have to look it up, but and still, they're still a good team. Like a Quinnipiac BC game is going to be fun. I'm definitely, if that's the matchup, I'm going.
And Quillen was invited to Bruins development camp either last summer or maybe the summer before. So certainly some of the Bruins have had their eye on in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Lots of hockey to look forward to and watch, including the NCAA tournament and Bruins next game against the Capitals. So I believe this is a good place to wrap up, guys. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Go
Sounds
you.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you soon.